10 minutes after 7, and a very special guest.
Well, Brad, she has advised presidents. She's an international relations expert. She's been a guest on our program before. Always a pleasure to welcome to Brad and Dan, Yvonne Renee Davis. Yvonne, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, Brad and Dan. Nice to hear your voices again. Good morning.
Good morning. Well, let's get into this deal that was announced last week, or this policy change by the Trump administration regarding Iran, although it's not a full withdrawal from this deal. What is your reaction?
I didn't think that he would completely leave the deal because of the work it was. He decertified it because in his administration, he certified for the first two times every 90 days you certify. So he was able to do that. But the issue that he has right now as president is the whole issue of the terrorist activities that Iran and its state-sponsored terrorism has been involved with for many, many years, with Hezbollah, with Hamas, with the proxy wars in Yemen, Libya, what's happening with Bashar al-Assad, and, of course, direct and indirect threats against the United States. And, of course, the number one issue in terms of Israel's security. And this was the opportunity where Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and President Trump have joined forces on this. This has been something that Prime Minister Netanyahu has been really pushing against the deal when it was in play under the Obama administration. The key is what he said in his speech, as he laid out his speech in the beginning, was to talk about the issues of terrorism, was that Iran, in his estimation, had not lived up to the spirit of the agreement. And that's where some of the rub comes, because even his own national security team has said the technical and material aspect of the agreement is in place. And so the four key components of the nuclear deal is that Iran is transparently and verifiably truly implementing all parts of the deal. Iran has not committed material breach of the agreement or taken any actions or covert activities that could significantly advance its nuclear weapons program. And anything that they had done before, they would have to suspend it. And so he implied that there was some breach as it relates to the inspections for the International Atomic Energy Agency coming in and doing inspections, but the head of that agency certified that they were following the tenets of this Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action agreement with the P5+1.
Yvonne, this one thing I think that is just common sense, that is that Iran has been a terrorist organization for years and years, and no matter what the United States has done in the past, what they have done in the past doesn't make any difference. And as soon as somebody like President Trump comes up and says, hey, look, we know who you are, and what you do, they go crazy. And so do some of the other countries that are supporting them in Europe. So, I mean, I think Trump is right.
Well, the issue right now is to really clamp down on the position of power in that region and the threat to Israel that primarily drives, and the economic benefits. Since France and Germany are in the U.K. And the European powers of the U.N. Security Council are a part of this agreement, France and Germany have made billions of dollars since some of the sanctions have lifted, including, Brad and Dan, the United States of America with its multi-billion dollar deal with Boeing. And President Trump and his America First Jobs initiative, 18,000 jobs Americans would have because of that deal with Iran. So we need to balance it off that way in terms of the economic benefits. What he did historically that no president has done is he placed the Iran Republican Guard Corps as a terrorist organization,
right,
supporting state-sponsored terrorism. In 2007, President George W. Bush had designated the Al-Quds Force, which is a part of the Iran Republican Guard, as a state-sponsored terrorism. But he said, no, let's cut off the monies everywhere. That's why you have that visceral response coming out of Tehran. with Rouhani and the hardliners and the moderates coming together behind that, because the implications are so serious. And so the reaction has been mixed. I mean, we know Netanyahu commended President Trump, but Ehud Barak, who was used to be the prime minister of Israel and also a hawk, a military hawk, and the defense minister, actually said that he didn't think that the U.S. should leave the agreement because of what it could implicate in the world as it relates to North Korea. So there's some connectedness there with making North Korea, which is the hermit kingdom, isolating Iran completely if President Trump decides to pull out after the 60-day period with Congress of what they're going to do. But mind you, what listeners have to understand, when Congress starts to take this on, these sanctions are separate and apart from the UN agreement. The UN Security Council has no say on that. So this is something completely different. So that's why we'll have to wait and see what ultimately takes place. I think the president's going to have a hard time with this one, Brad and Dan, actually, because he needs 8 Democrats to be on board with this. This might be quite a struggle over the next couple of months, along with everything else that's happening.
Just hold those thoughts for a minute. We'll be back with Yvonne Renee Davis, Brad. I know a quick rundown on sports and traffic.
21 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock on Monday morning. Good morning, good morning, good morning, my dear friends. A special guest, Yvonne Davis, international relations expert. This is all about the controversy with the President of the United States and his relationship with Iran. Iran doesn't like him because the President knows what they are, and there's no question about it. I think all Americans know exactly what they are. They're terrorists, period. Yvonne Davis, our guest.
Well, Yvonne, is it a good deal? Did the Obama administration cut a good deal with Iran?
I think that the deal was the best that they could cut, but I think it's a situation with Ambassador Haley raised, as well as Secretary Tillerson. I remember the famous statement from President Clinton on affirmative action, mend it, don't end it. So, and of course, that was never really mended. So it's a situation where that there's some challenges with regards to it, but the problem is that the agreement has gone down the road, and you don't have the United States as the only actor. You have Russia, you have China, you have the UK, Germany, France, and the EU, who's sharing it actually on behalf of the whole P5+1 of the UN Security Council. And so it's not, they've already agreed, the allies, our Western allies have already said they're not leaving the agreement. And Iran has said they're not leaving the agreement. And Russia and China haven't said anything, but they're not leaving the agreement. So it becomes a situation where we will be the only isolated actor in the world of this agreement that would potentially pull out. And if that's the case, where does that leave us? In relation to do we look like we have bad faith, or because we're taking the clear position of terrorism, and we need to take that position because no one has challenged it in this way.
That's right.
So to the commendation of the president, that's what it is. But when you look at the technicality of this agreement, which I've spent more time on it last night, again, I'm preparing for the show, it's very clear that in the agreement that Iran cannot under any circumstances use any of nuclear materials to develop a weapon. They cannot. It is so entrenched in the agreement, in the top five, in the top several articles of the agreement, and the use of uranium is supposed to be for scientific purposes, and they're supposed to be transparent to allow the inspectors to come in from the IAEA and the UN. And so at any time, by the way. And so that's where sort of the issues come into play there. But from the
How about the inspection process to ensure that?
Well,
they don't want us over there inspecting anything.
I think they probably wouldn't. It's sort of like, let's use an analogy. You know, you are at your job, and the big bosses of the corporation are coming in and do inspections, or OSHA inspections. Nobody wants OSHA inspections to come in. Nobody wants that. What do you have to do? You have to allow it. You have to prepare for it, because if you don't let them in, guess what? You're going to be smacked with a sanction or a fine or possibly worse. So in their situation, this is a country that this is what the country has done. The Islamic Republic of Iran has built up its conventional arsenal. See, that's the other thing. What they've done in place of not doing the nuclear deal, because they promised in the agreement not to ever do it, they have built up a very formidable conventional weapons organization, military organizations, relates to bombs and it's military. That's why President Trump hit the Iran Republican Guard so hard, because I went ahead and did a thorough analysis of all of their military weaponry and their strength, and they are the strongest in the Middle East region.
But Yvonne.
Yes.
If we had done it when we should have done it, we would not be in this position today. But we've never had, okay, the leaders. They were always afraid, and don't think Iran didn't know that, and they built it up, and somebody someday has got to take them on. And I don't think they would go to war anyway. I think they would back off, and I think it's about time that we challenge this organization.
That's why, Brad, hitting the Iran Republican Guard Corps is critical in this, and that's why you're getting such a visceral response. This is their bread and butter as it relates to finance, as it relates to strength in the region. The concern, though, is by pulling out, does that trigger, with the isolation of Iran, does that trigger an arms race? Does Iran decide to say, okay, forget the agreement, we're just going to start to enrich uranium, we're going to go back to what we did before? I think they don't want to risk that. I think that's why the United States did not act alone. It actually made the agreement. And so we have to decide, is the United States going to act alone and be a lone star on this particular deal for the rest of the world? That's going to be the question. It's sort of like you compare it to what's happening in North Korea. The United States cannot act alone. There's Japan and there's South Korea that's involved in that process. And then whether you people like it or not, there's China. So it's just, if the United States, it's a larger issue in terms of foreign policy. Is the United States going to start being a lone star actor on these major issues or major deal, or are they still going to come as a collective with the powers that be? That becomes the question of scale right now. And so on for Benjamin Netanyahu's side and Israel's side, they're prepared to do war. They're prepared because they see Iran as its singular most threat in that region because of the vitriol, the things that they have said of wiping Israel off the face of the map, we being the great citizen, all those words that play into the situation as well.
You know, Yvonne, one of the things that still irritates Trump and a lot of people on this deal is the fact that plane loads of cash into the hundreds of millions of dollars was sent to Iran from the United States in this deal.
That's right.
It's funny when he said that, I actually didn't doubt it, because when I was working in Israel under President Bush's administration, I remember that Iran had sent $250 million in caravan cash. This is information that I will share now, Brad and Dan. And they were sending it over to Palestine for Hamas because, you know, at that time, the Palestinian Authority was not paid their people in almost 6 months. There was no money for food, et cetera. And so the Egyptians actually stopped the cash flow. And when I was overseas, I was like, whoa. I mean, I was trying to imagine monies coming in. Can you imagine? So when President Trump mentioned that, I went back to that moment that has been done before by the Iranians. But the United States caught it and said, no, you got to bank money. And that's why they put pressure on the United Arab Emirates, where the famous Dubai is at, to say, no, guys, because you can't bring cash into the UAE and do financial deals anymore like you used to. You have to bank the money. We need to track the money because Al-Quds is a terrorist organization. And so that actually caused a schism or a split between the relationship between the UAE and Iran. And so because the Persians were administering tons of cash in real estate and development in the United Arab Emirates. So I'm very familiar with that process, even in the UAE, because I'm there all the time, and I'm familiar with what was going on. So I'm not surprised, actually. I'm not surprised. But we also approved the Boeing deal because Iran had no planes. And so America benefited from the Iran nuclear deal and jobs for Americans to the tune of 18,000. So we have to balance the truth as well.
Well, we got to get this thing straightened out because Iran has controlled so much for so long, and it's about time somebody stepped up. And I just hope it's going to be us as leaders and the United Nations. We'll see. 7:30. Thanks a million for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Yvonne.
Good day.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.